Thank you, Jesus. Well, now, I'm not going to preach this morning. Sister Shirley's going to preach, but I'm going to address you. I'm just going to say something that you need to take to heart. And I know it's not that you're not already doing it, but you need to magnify the Lord. That means to make him bigger. You know, 37 years ago, a group of people started meeting here in Columbia. There was about 9 of us. And in a couple of weeks, it jumped up to about 14. And you know, those people that were there would go away from there and they would tell other people, I'll tell you what, I never heard anything like what they're preaching. You should hear it. You should hear what they're telling us. What God will do and who God is and how faith works and how much God loves you. And over the past 37 years, we've grown. We're not the same people that we were 37 years ago. And I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound arrogant, but you can't hear the Word of God anywhere in this community any better than what you hear here. Amen. 37 years ago, there wasn't anything that even looked like us around here. And there's been a lot of places that have sprung up, and there's a lot of good being done. But I'll tell you what. With the Word of God that you're receiving here, and now we don't have great multitudes of numbers. We don't have a Christian Life Center, you know, in the sense of basketball playing and all of that. But we've got what we've got, and the strongest thing we've got here is that our feet are standing on the Word of God, and that's what's going to get us through tomorrow. Not even running around the church this morning is going to get you through tomorrow morning. But the Word of God will. And you're not going to hear, you're not going to hear anything from this pulpit that's not the Word of God. Now some other places that are doing good get up and they'll mix bones in with their meat. You know, they'll say, well, we don't know why God took him, but, you know, it's got to be a blessing. He was only 6 years old, but God needed him in heaven. What for? God didn't need him in heaven like you needed him here. And the Bible tells us when you get in the study of the Bible and you don't go by what you feel and you don't go by what you've been taught all your life. A lot of things that people teach, they teach it because they got a feeling one day that that's what it was. It doesn't matter what the Bible said. This is just the way I feel. Well, get over that. It does matter what the Bible says. And there's a lot of churches now that are big churches. And they don't hold the Bible in any real high respect. They hold their programs. They hold their denomination. But I'll tell you what, the thing that's here in this place is the Word of God. Now, like I said, you won't hear preached from this pulpit something that's not the Word of God. If it is preached by somebody, that's probably the last time they'll be up here. Now, there may be some things that are truths that we haven't got to yet because we don't know everything. But we know a lot. And it's come from our study of the Word of God and giving ourselves to the Word of God and saying the Word of God is the standard of life. It's not just a book that you can read when you're interested. It's the standard of life. It is the secure thing that exists. And if you don't believe that, I don't see much reason for being a Christian. We're standing on the Word of God. That's the thing that makes a difference. The difference in Christianity and the other religions is that our leader's living. He's not dead and buried in some place and we go to his grave and look at him and say, oh, he was a wonderful leader. Look what he started. And I'm not taking anything away from anything, but watching TV the other day and some of the tributes that they're paying to Muhammad Ali, particularly the Muslim side. And I know that one of the guys got upset and went home early because the coordinators of the service wouldn't let him read from the Quran. And he packed up and went home early. But anyway, during that, I heard someone saying, "Long live Muhammad." And I thought, Muhammad's been dead for 800 years. We mean long live Muhammad. Jesus Christ is the only one that's alive. And you know, our relationship with God is not based upon a doctrine. It's based upon a person. Our relationship with him. But anyway, that little group of 14 soon grew into a room packed in the basement of the library because the people that were coming were going out and saying, "You never heard anything like this. We've never heard anything like this." And you know, you can be hearing something good, but there may be something better. And you know, never feel reluctant or hesitant to say, "Where you go to church? Where do you go to church?" I go to New Life for the Nations. You should come and hear the word of God that we hear there. Stand up. You know, in the Bible, the people would come and hear Jesus, and then they would. We never heard anything like this. We never heard anything. This man speaks not as the Pharisees and the scribes, but as one who has authority. We have authority. And our group may be small, you know. We're not as big as a lot of the other churches, but I'll tell you what. When you go look around, there's not that many big churches around here. I mean, there's a few, but we got 130 churches just in Adair County. We're bigger than most of them. But anyway, just look at yourself like this. There's fewer green berets in the military than there is soldiers. There's fewer Marines than there are other military personnel. But they're the top of the line. They're the ones that are really in there when the fighting's going on, and they're ready for it. I'll tell you what, if I didn't know what I know and I hadn't learned what I've learned through the years of being here at New Life and hearing the things that I've heard from Andrew Womack and Kenneth Copeland and the other people that are preaching the gospel, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. I'd be stone cold dead, buried somewhere, and they'd been visiting my grave this past Memorial Day. But God, you know, never said that you wouldn't go through things. But see, there's a difference between going through something and then folding up in the middle of it. The Word of God. It's the Word of God. You don't think you're going to go through anything because you're serving God? One of the greatest stories in the Bible about the power of God is the challenge that Elijah brought against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. When he said, "Let the real God send down fire." And the prophets of Baal couldn't get any answer from their God. And when Elijah, when he prayed, the fire fell. Not only did it consume the sacrifice, but it licked up all of the water that they'd put on it. And it was a great victory, and the prophets of Baal were slain. And Elijah was on top of the world, spiritually speaking, for 15, 20 minutes. Maybe for a few hours. Until he got word that a lady named Jezebel sent him word saying, "You're going to be as dead as the prophets of Baal as soon as I get my hands on you." And the great man of faith and power stood up and faced her and said, "Well, bring it on." No, he didn't. He cut and run. got out in the cave and hid. And when God came up on him, God said, "What are you doing, Elijah?" Now, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting. "What are you doing, Elijah?" "Well, you got me in a mess. I'm the only one that cares about you, and everybody else has turned against me." And God said, "Elijah, don't overestimate yourself. Still 7,000 have never bowed their knee to Baal. Get up." And you know what he told him? "Go anoint Elisha. Basically, take over your position. But your time's about up." Following the greatest victory he'd had in his whole ministry. Don't be all bent out of shape when things happen. Just stand on the word of God, stiffen your back, and say, "I'm going through this thing." And if you can't do it for yourself, just believe that there's somebody else there that's not willing to turn you loose. And when you can't do it for yourself, they're standing there saying, "The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and he's going to quicken your mortal body. Jerry Relaford, you're not dying on me." We have a legacy here at New Life to be proud of. And I know that there are people out there, they desperately need, if they could hear what we preach here, their lives would be changed. But they got to know that something's going on, and the only way that they know is just like those people 37 years ago found out. There were some that went, and when they left, they were changed. We never heard anything like this. Isn't that right, Sister Phyllis? She'd go home after those ladies' Bible studies, and she'd get in her Bible, and she'd make sure that what Laverne was telling her was the truth. And I'm just saying, hey, we've still got the best thing there is. We need to hold on to it. And the lady that's getting ready to come and preach here in a minute, I trust her with everything that can be said from this pulpit. And many of the rest of you, too, if you had the opportunity. I was at Walmart the other day. I was down between the aisles looking for something. And all of a sudden I heard something, and I said, "Ricardo Hughes is in this store." I know he is. I recognize that voice. And so I got to looking for him, and I headed where I thought he probably would be, which would be up close to the door. And when I got there, he was sharing with the lady that he knew, and they were, they were getting happy. And he was excited. And I said, "I knew you were here. I heard you." Well, then a little bit later, Laverne showed up. And she said, "Well, I was talking to Ricardo." She came up. She said, "I knew he was here in this store somewhere. I heard him." That's awesome. I just praise God. And that's not something that Ricardo Hughes can do and everybody else just can't get there. Right, Cherry? So keep that in mind. The only way they're going to know out there what's going on in here is what you tell them. Amen. Well, I guess the class is to be dismissed. Oh, we got something else.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, we love you. Happy birthday.
classes can be dismissed. Amen. I am a life that is changed because of these two people here. Amen. Some of you know my testimony. I came here about 22 years ago. My son was 13 at the time, and I came because I wanted to get him in a good youth group, and Bonnie and Richard was doing the youth at that time, and that was my purpose for attending. And I came a couple of services, and working at the nursing home, I was only off every other weekend, but every time the church doors was open, I was here. And I was here a couple of times, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "This is where I want you to stay. I want to teach you and train you, and I want you to watch the pastors and learn from them." And so I was, at the time, you know, God has a way of sneaking things up on you, because later I was thinking, I wasn't here for myself. I was here for my son. But God has a bigger picture. Amen. So give honor where honor is due. So I honor my pastors today with everything that's within me. I am a life that has been changed because of the word that they taught, and I received that word to be of truth, and I applied it to my life. You can stand under the teaching of the word, but if you don't take that word and be a doer of that word and allow it to change your life, all you're hearing is a word. Amen. But take that word, apply it to your life, and be a life that's changed. And God was speaking to me a few weeks ago about how the church is a soul-building station and not necessarily a soul-winning station, because sinners are not going to come to a place that they don't know nothing about. So we take what we learn in here, take it out there and win souls, bring them into the church, teach them and train them in the Word of God so they can be what God has destined and purposed them to be. Amen. So we are a church that is a soul-building station. That you come in here and you get your booster shot on Sunday morning, you take what you know out there and spread the good news and tell people about how God has changed your life and where you got the word at. So there must be something about Walmart, because I can't take Kenny Powell there either. I know Kenny don't come to church very much, but there's not very many. You go to Walmart with him and you never know who you're going to find him talking to. Amen. So must be something about Walmart. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today that is life-changing. And we receive that engrafted word today, Father God, as to be of truth above anything else that we taste, smell, or see, or feel. Your word that has set us free today, and we thank you for that. Amen. 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 I woke up yesterday morning to hearing the words, "the fountain of living water." The fountain of living water. And then I heard Psalms 80. So I immediately went and got the word, and I read in Psalms 80 in verse 3, 7, and 19, the word says in those three particular verses, "Restore us, O God, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Fountain of life, fountain of living water, and restoration." And as we go through this message, we'll see how they go hand in hand. So I asked the Lord what he would want me to say about the word that he had just given me that morning. And this is what he said to tell you. He said to say about that which you just spoke to me. And he said, "Tell those that would have ears to hear, if they would come to me in total abandonment, that lay aside everything that you think you know, amen, and they would thirst, that they would thirst no more. That which they are looking for cannot be found in the arms of flesh. The emptiness they sense is a place I desire to fill with the Holy Spirit. And I will restore to them that which they have lost trying to do it their way." How long in our life have we tried to do it our way? He said, "I will restore to them that which they have lost trying to do it their way. The time to think they think they lost, I will redeem. As they drink from the fountain of living water, I will cause them to see with new vision, and a new hope will be birthed within them. Relationships that have been severed, I will bring healing. Your days of grief are over." "Your days of grief are over, for in me you have found the way to the fountain of living water." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just as necessary that water is for the human life, so is the fountain of living water to those who are trying to find life in the arms of the flesh, because the arms of the flesh will fail you. And water in the natural accounts for 50 to 70% of our body weight, and it's crucial for most bodily functions. You can survive a long time without food, but you cannot survive very long without water. And it's the same thing spiritually. You can come to church and you can hear that anointed word, the water of that word, and you don't drink of it, it won't do you any good. So the fountain of living water, just as water in the natural is crucial to our bodies, the fountain of living water is crucial for living a life of peace and wholeness while here upon this earth. That's when we need the help. That's when we need the word, because it's all going to be over when we get to heaven. We're going to be walking total fullness then. Amen? So crucial means most vital and of the greatest significance in determining outcome. Drinking of the water of the word. The outcome of your life will be determined on whether you have lived in relationship with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, or are you going through life singing the song, "I'm doing it my way." Amen? Read that again. The outcome of your life while you're here, whether you have lived in relationship with, will be determined on whether you have lived in relationship with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, or if you are singing the song, "I'm doing it my way." In 1513, supposedly a Spanish explorer named, and I was going to ask Pastor him how to pronounce this, because I'm an old country girl, I just talk. I can't, there's a lot of things I can't say, hallelujah. Anyway, this guy by the name of Juan Ponce de Leon. Ponce de Leon. Set sail with the new land in an attempt to find the legendary fountain of youth, a spring reputed to have the power to make old people look young again. And of course, in all of his searching, he never found it. When you think of youth, you think life, you think newness. But the quest for eternal youth did not die with him. Not as much has changed since that time. People are still seeking the fountain of youth with thousands of dollars spent on trying to stay young and vibrant. From cosmetic surgery that can totally change your appearance, to liposuction, to the latest weight loss aid, and the list goes on and on and on, with people spending thousands and thousands on the dollars of coming of the thing, the newest thing that's come out, to try to satisfy something that only God can satisfy. Because if it don't come from the inside out, no matter what you do outside, will be of no avail. It's temporary. It's a fleeting thing. Amen? So you can spend all your time and money on material things to try and make your outside look good, and there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of us need a little help. I need a lot of help. But it's the inside. What's inside will eventually come out. What's in here will eventually come out. People try to fill a heart, their heart, a place that only can be filled by your Creator God. Because you were created in the image of God to have a relationship with Him. And when you try to fulfill that place that only God can fulfill, it will be of no avail. Amen? So a life that is torn apart and in shatters, God can restore. Amen? So people are trying all these things, hoping to bring back or to restore that which only God can through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Through the power of His Spirit. John 7:39 says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink.'" He's no respecter of persons. He said, "Let anyone that is thirsty come to me and drink." In these two verses, Jesus proclaims Himself to be the place where water is found. But He is the fountain where it can be found. And throughout the New Testament, you see that water for drinking is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that comes to sinners. It's the Spirit of God that came to us, that drawed us to the salvation of God. And it came to us at one time to show us that salvation. We can find that in John 16:18. And you can jot these scriptures down to read later. But it's the Holy Spirit that applies the Word of God in conviction in John 6:44. And it's the Spirit that baptizes a new believer into the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:13. And it is the Spirit that seals the believer in Ephesians 4:30. And in Ephesians 5:18, it's the Spirit of God that fills the believer and uses him for the glory of God. Salvation involves every member of the Trinity. God, Father, and the Holy Spirit. Just as they are in the beginning, amen, they are today. So we do not have to live by the arm of the flesh. We can be Spirit-led. We can be led by the Spirit, amen? So he, the Spirit, is the water of life. And you get to that water of life through Jesus. He's the one that made it possible. So if the Spirit is the water of life, then Jesus is the fountain of living water that makes it all possible. It is in him, through him, and by him that salvation has been offered. And then we can partake of the water of the Spirit of God. Before the water of life could be given to a lost and dying world, the fountain of living water had to be opened. And you know, it had to require that the earth be torn open so that the life-giving water can flow forth. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It's finished." That was accomplished. That was what was accomplished. And the death that he died, the horrible death he died, was for the sin of mankind. So he allowed himself to go through what he went through so he could be opened up and so the water of the Spirit might be free to flow to a needy humanity. Amen. Glory to God. That ought to do something to you, church. Your past, present, and future sins were nailed to the cross. And whatever may be keeping you from your destiny was also nailed to the cross. Because when he said it was finished, church. We just need to accept it, amen? So Jesus said to disciples, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. It is for your own good that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And all things that the Father have are mine. Therefore I said he will take of mine and declare it to you." In John 16:7-15, the Amplified Bible reads it this way, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, the Standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you." When he left, he did not leave us alone. He left us with help. Amen. So as Christians, if we only associate the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost as a baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit and goosebumps and all those things, we are so limiting the function of what the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And we're cheating ourselves and limiting what he wants to do. Amen. So the Helper has come. Amen. Anybody got amen? The Helper has come. Glory to God. A promise. The word helper in Greek is the word, how do you pronounce that? P-A-R. Yeah, that word right there. And it means intercessor. It means counselor, advocate, or comforter. A promise of a constant help. You are never alone. Amen. You are never alone. And God is the author of our restoration plan. And we're going to see how the Holy Spirit comes in to bring this all together. And restore means to revive and return to life or bring back to an original condition. But the definition, if you take it this way, falls short of all that what God means restoration to be. God intended for it to be more than to bring back to a former or an original condition. He intended to multiply and increase beyond the point that he longed for the latter days to be greater than our former days. Amen. So only when we allow the Holy Spirit, taking that word, allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us, we have the power to live a victorious life. You can be led by the Holy Spirit, and we should be led by the Holy Spirit, because you're only going to be influenced by two forces, outside influence or inside influence. And the last 2 Wednesday nights we talk about chatter, and it's according to what the chatter you want to listen to. Right. Yeah. Amen. So it is the Holy Spirit who does the work. It is the Holy Spirit who does the work of restoration, or restoring the fragmented, scattered pieces of people's lives that are broken and make it into something greater than what it was before. In John 4, we have the story of the Samaritan woman that came to the well. She thought she was just coming for an ordinary day to draw wet water. Just like any other day, God set her up. She was set up that day. So whatever happens in your life, realize you're just set up for a breakthrough. Amen? So she came and her life was changed that day. And it seemed that life and people had used her up. And that's the way the world is. That's the way the enemy of our souls is. He will use you until you have lost your usefulness. And then he will discard you and throw you by the wayside. But Jesus offered her grace. And now she could begin a life of being restored to all that God had destined for her. Even if she was married as many times as she said she was. God is a God of forgiveness and he's a God of restoration. And he can use you in spite of your past. You just got a greater testimony. Amen? You just got a greater testimony. So the restoration process can begin with the aid of the Holy Spirit. So he has placed us in a new season with new revelation and new life and new wine. He said, this is a new season for us. Matthew 9:17 says that, nor do they put wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Matthew 9:17. So in order to contain the new wine of restoration, we need a new wineskin. And it's going to get better, church. The Greek word for new meaning something totally new that has never been seen before. But the definition used in this particular passage of Scripture is a different Greek word. And it is kainos, whereas the other new was neos in the Greek. And this means something that has been renewed or made over, something that has been restored. In the restorative process, God takes what was there and brings it to a new place. So he can restore, so he can pour within it that which he longs to release to us, which is the new wine. So God takes your life and he brings you to a new place. And he begins to restore that which you have lost in trying to live life out your own way. In trying to do in life my way. Glory to God. So he brings us to that place. To make a new wineskin new, he soaks the old wineskin in water, the word, the water, the new wine, and rubs it in oil. Glory to God. You ever taken an old piece of leather and put wine on or put oil on it until it begins to soften? Oh, that's the way the word does in our life. When we begin to receive it, it takes our rough and hard life, that life has dealt us a hard blow. And he takes that word, and when we begin to receive that word, he begins to rub it in with the anointing of the Holy Ghost until we begin to soften, amen, and become pliable in his hand. Glory to God. That's what God does for you. So rubbing oil in the oil is the part of the process that makes us flexible and pliable in the hands of God. Those hard things that we go through are the oil that he rubs into us, and that oil contains a new anointing. And as we allow the Spirit to take us through the process of the rubbing, sometimes it's not easy for us to let go of the old because we don't like change. And in order to step into new, there has to be change. So we'd all become more flexible so that we can handle all God desires to pour into. We also then begin to be able to pour out unto others, as Pastor was saying. Take what you know and go and pour into somebody else's life. No wonder the devil is trying to shut you up and silence you. You've got a testimony that somebody needs to hear. You've got a word that somebody needs to hear. No wonder he's trying to shut you up and shut you down. Sometimes you've got to get you, what did you say, your courageous praise on. Yep. Amen. So when we come to Jesus in the restorative process of our life, God takes what there is, no matter how damaged, and begins to make something new. Before restoration begins, though, there is a removal of the old. But I have more good news. Amen. I have more good news. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became a new creation. We don't have to remove the old. Jesus did it when he shed his blood on the cross. Hallelujah. Did y'all get that? Isn't that exciting? So when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we became a new creation. The removal of the old. So the restoration could begin. Amen. Your mind, when our spirit man became born again, we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became a new creation, our spirit man was born again. But your mind, will, and emotions stayed the same. You still thought things you shouldn't have thought. You still said things you shouldn't have said or didn't need to say. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That you may prove to yourself what is the good, acceptable will of God. So God has already took care of the removal of the old things. When you accepted him, he removed all the old. And now he's beginning to replace it with the new. The process of restoration. Everything in your life that you lost. So if there are old things hanging around in your mind, you can get rid of them by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. And it is a process. Removal has been taken care of through the shed blood of Jesus when he said it was finished on the cross. And guess what? There's more good news. You are now a candidate for the restoration of God. That means everything that you've lost is going to be restored. Woo! Well, I think I'll read that again. Removal has been taken care of through the shed blood of Jesus, and now you are a candidate for God to begin to restore your life to what he meant for it to be. Glory to God. The condemnation of the past has been removed. The condemnation of the past has been removed. The Bible says in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for who? For those who are in Christ. Are you in Christ? Have you been saved? You are a new creation. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's good. For what the law could not do, that is overcome sin and remove its penalty and its power, sin has no power over you. Being weakened by the flesh, man's nature without the Holy Spirit, but you got the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. God did. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for our sin. Glory to God. But one of the tactics, and the greatest tactic of the enemy, I believe, is bombarding believers with reminders of their past, of their personal failures, failures of their generations, of their families. But I want you to know the curse is broken. You don't have to go to a remove it curse meeting. It's already been broken when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That generational curse is broken over your life. Now, come on, church. That's right. One of the tactics of the enemy is to bombard believers with reminders of personal failures, failures in their generations, to where they wear around a garment of condemnation and guilt. And when you go around with a garment of condemnation and guilt, it is sticky and everything will stick to it. Everything, the spirit of rejection, people say stuff, it sticks to you. Come on, somebody. A spirit of grief to what could have been happened. Could have happened. A spirit of grief that it comes over people and they live in the spirit of grief of what could have been, and they can never get to what is. God can't restore. I've been divorced. I've had an abortion. I'm a thief. So I'm here to tell somebody that the devil is a liar. God said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He may come to steal and destroy. The Bible says in Proverbs, I don't know the exact scripture right now, but that's okay because I know it's in there, that when the thief is found out, he has to restore sevenfold. So if you're depressed today, your joy is going to be restored sevenfold. If you are lacking today, God's going to restore that. Amen? You don't have to wear the old garment. The cycle of the past can be broken. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Your relationship with God can be restored. And the guilt no longer, when that happens, the guilt no longer has purpose. When you realize that your relationship with God has been restored, there's no reason to feel guilty. Guilty will cause you to stay in the same place all the time. And you can never, ever move forward. Ever, ever move forward. Renewing the wineskin that will hold the new wine of restoration. So it's a great time for the church. Amen. God is going back to the Word. He's going to restore to you that which you have lost trying to do it your way. The time that you think you've lost, He says, I'm going to redeem. The restoration, power of the Holy Spirit, nothing is wasted. John 6:12 says, Jesus said, gather up the fragments. You know, when He had the loaves and the fishes, He said, nothing's wasted. Gather up the fragments, the broken pieces that are left over, so that nothing may be lost or wasted. In God's hands, nothing is wasted. No time you've spent doing it your way has been wasted, because God is the Redeemer of that time. Amen. So we're going to stand right now, and we're going to decree and declare some things. Hallelujah. You just speak this out, as I said, in Jesus' name. Amen. I decree the restoration of all that is broken.
I decree the restoration of all that is broken.
Damaged, hurt, and lost. I decree the restoration of that which has been lost.
I decree the restoration of that which has been lost.
Weakened or stolen. I decree the restoration of wholeness and completion. I decree the restoration of love in every area of my life. Now you watch it happen this week. Amen. You watch it happen to you. God's restoring life and vitality to you. He is the Lord that heals you, body and soul. Glory to God. And life that will be renewed. He will renew your hope. He will renew your strength and your joy. And He will give you new life in Him. I believe that He's going to energize you. Glory to God. To do the new that He's called you to do. He wants you to be new thing minded. New thing minded. He will heal family and relationships, like He said before. Relationships that have been severed. God said, I'm restoring it. It's not meant for families to be torn apart, because there's strength in unity. And if He can destroy the family and marriage, He's got the church. So God is restoring severed relationships and families. Hallelujah. So the church can move forward in what they're called and destined to be.
Amen. Come on.
Woo! He's restored life and hope and peace in you. He will heal your broken lives, heal all the wounds, and breathe new life into you. Now take a deep breath and receive that today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Do you receive this word today?
Amen.
Glory to God. New life, new season. Thank you, Father God. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're making us new-minded for the new thing. Hallelujah. That you're the God of restoration. That you are restored, and we no longer are doing it our way, but we are led by your Spirit, God. And that our hope is in you and you alone. And you're giving us strength to receive the seed of the Word of God Just as Sarah received strength to conceive the word to birth, you are given a strength to receive the seed of your word to birth what you want into the earth for such a time as this. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We lack nothing. And I speak favor over you this week as you go about. And whatever you have to do, you find favor. And that you are blessed and you are the head and not the tail. That money comes to you so that you can be blessed and be a blessing to the kingdom of God. I decree and declare to you that you are debt free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word, Father God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Does anybody need prayer this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
What's coming up ahead of me? I'm selling my home and packing up, and I just need this.
Yes, amen. Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for strength. And I speak peace over Cheryl in the name of Jesus. As she ventures into this new season of her life, God, I thank you that you're giving her the strength, that you're the God of wisdom that lives big in her, and that you're surrounding her with people that she will find favor with, God, and that things will be done quickly and in order by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big in her, that it's magnified in her in the upcoming days, Lord, that she can be led. She will be led of your Spirit, Lord. And in spite of all the chatter that's around you, that's around her, God, she gets quiet before you and she listens to the whispers of your voice. And I thank you for that, God. And in the stillness, she will hear a voice behind her that says, walk ye in it. And she will say, yes, Lord, because she knows your voice and she's led by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus, for your word that is settled in her. Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go this week and be blessed and take what you know out there and tell somebody that their life is not over, that God is redeeming the time for them. Amen.